That's my woke
something up.
Yeah, woke something up. Good morning. I forgot to tell Ms. Seiler we were on. You are in the conference committee on Senate Bill 753. Welcome. And I think we have a couple of amendments in front of us. I'm interested in the B8, but I know that Representative Riley wants to talk about his B9s. So we can talk about those, Representative Riley, and then go with the B8s. And so I'm, you know, if you get my drift.
Did you get that, guys?
Senators.
So if you want to just talk about your V9s, and I'm going to bring up some folks to address that. So go ahead.
Well, simply, the B9 is an attempt to make the clients of the ombudsman confidential communications. And when I thought about this, what I was trying to do was make the ombudsman communications very similar to lawyer-client communications, where if a client goes to a lawyer with a problem, that it's not necessary to tell the world what the problem is, and they can be open and honest. I think that's part of the role of the ombudsman, if my understanding is correct, is to help folks who have a problem. And if those folks don't feel that they can honestly and openly discuss their problem, that in itself is for me, a huge problem. And this was an attempt to do that, while at the same time not violating our public access laws.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I neglected to have Ms. Richardson tell us about our three different amendments.
I seem to know that.
But everybody knows what they are. The dash 10s were Senator Morsett's first attempt, and I told him that I'm not willing to go there on those at all. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we've got your B9s that you just want to talk about. Can I have Tom Gallagher and Pete Shepherd come up? Sarah, I don't know if you're interested in talking about it. The B8 just eliminates, as you know, the provision on page 2, so then we don't have a problem at all. So talk to us about the B9s and Representative Riley's concern.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pete Shepherd. I'm the Deputy Attorney General. The Attorney General wants to facilitate the work of ombudspersons, and it was in that spirit that we worked with Senator Morsett on the bill as originally introduced. We like Representative Riley, understand that the collection of information by ombudspersons is a key part of making those ombudspersons effective. And we also wouldn't oppose consideration of some change if there were a strong case made for the proposition that ombudspersons can't get access to the information they need without some kind of enhanced promise of confidentiality. That is to say, if there were a case made for the proposition that ombudspersons are being impeded in the collection of the information they need to be effective because they can't promise the people that they're talking to confidentiality, for example, then we're not opposed as a matter of generic principle to that idea. The problem that we do have, though, and the reason we favor the B8 amendments is that the alternatives to the B8 amendments involve intrusions into the public records law and the fundamental principle that public records are available and shouldn't be impeded without access to those shouldn't be impeded without a very very strong case being made for varying from that principle. We frankly haven't seen that case yet, but we, as I told both of the substantive committees that looked at this, the Attorney General will be happy to work during the interim with ombudspersons and members of the Assembly to assess whether the need for that kind of a change in the law does exist. So at this point, however, the Attorney General's position is that we ought not make any incursions into the public records law, and that we ought to stick with the original intention of the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Gallagher, do you have a response?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Tom Gallagher representing the Oregon Newspaper Publishers. I think essentially I'm where the Attorney General is. We've asked a number of times to give us the problem so that we can solve it, and that hasn't happened. Since I started doing this for the newspapers, I can think of 10 or 15 bills where we have closed public records because the balance between the reason for closing the records and the concept of open public records was tipped in scale in favor of closing the records, and I'm perfectly willing to do that in situations like this. If the ombudsperson is having difficulty, or the clients, the complainants, or other residents in the facilities and so forth are not coming forth because they're afraid of their remark being made public, that would be something we would look at. So let me assume for a second there is a problem. And I checked with our newspaper folks, and nobody has any information that these are records that we know of any requests we've made for these records and so forth. So it's not something that we care about or look at unless it was some giant nursing home expose or problem where we wanted to figure out what everybody was doing in the place. All right. When I look at the B-9s, and they're very similar to what we agreed to with Representative Riley and Garrard in the A and Gross or the B and Gross. So that I'm comforted by that. When I look at them, I have just two questions. I think we're trying to get, I think Representative Riley, you said these are the personal communications between the complainant or the client. And I just generally, not having seen a problem, but I could understand why those records might be wanting to be kept confidential, which would lead me to some sort of a definition of what is communication, and I'm thinking of a written or oral communication from a complainant or a non-employee participant, which would be, you know, the resident living next door or somebody else who dealt with that caregiver they're complaining about. I think I'm fine on having those records exempted so that the people themselves, the people in the institution, can come forward and give out their information. The other documents, the other things that are collected, the records of, let's say, nursing home, all of those other things that aren't really exempt and would go in the ombudsperson's file simply because they were collecting everything that was relevant to the case, since they're not exempt anywhere else, and I don't know why those would need to be exempt. So if you did move in the direction of the B-9s, a good definition of what is a communication and limiting it to, you know, the residents, the people who are there, who are the clients of the ombudsperson, is something I think I could explain to my folks.
And actually, Mr. Gallagher has explained exactly what I wanted to do when we went in to get the B version drafted. That was my intent. I believe you know that was my intent.
I do, thank you.
And I believe that's the direction we really should go. Whether we do it today or we do it in the interim for a bill next session, that's the direction we should be going. And I absolutely agree with Mr. Gallagher. I think he is right on target.
Okay, Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also agree with both Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Shepherd in the importance of that kind of communication, and person-to-person communication with the ombudsperson, that should be confidential. The larger picture, the accumulated records that the ombudsman collects, though, I think is a different situation. Mm-hmm. I would like to work on that part of it during the interim and simply pass the bill without the last page. I guess it's the B-8.
B-8,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But I really appreciate the effort that's being put into this because, you know, it is maybe a worst-case scenario, but a very important one, and there may be a situation where a person would not simply give the information personally for fear of that lack of confidentiality. So I think it's a good solution to move B-8 and come back and work on another version during the interim.
Okay. Everything comfortable with that? Anyone have any questions?
I just have a question, Mr. Chair. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's wrong with the B-9s. I other than the Attorney General's concern, we worked hard with this, and I don't understand why you wouldn't want to incorporate that in the bill now. It seems we had all parties involved, and everybody seemed to check off on it. And be engrossed I liked, and I don't understand the B-9s seem to take that, to even explain that further. The whole idea is to differentiate information that goes to the ombudsman, and as a person that deals with confidential information, I think that there is a place for confidential information in this bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, perhaps to the representative's point, I would, even on the language, the current language of the B-9s, I would think the most likely court-assigned definition to the term communications would be the one that Mr. Gallagher has described. The B-9s would be improved by including a specific statutory definition, so you wouldn't leave that to the courts to construe what a communication is. But there is a more fundamental question, policy question, embedded in the B-9s, and it's really important to be very careful about how we use the expression confidential, because there's quite an array of barriers in law, if you will, to the free release of information. It can range from the typical exemption under the public records law, that where the agency is authorized by law to assert an exemption but not required by law to do so, which leaves the agency in charge of making a policy decision effectively about whether they will choose to release the information. Most of the exemptions in the public records law are not mandatory requirements imposed on the agency that it's compelled to keep information exempt from a public records law. Rather, they're optional for the agency. It must decide whether it wishes to assert an exemption that applies on the face of it. At the other end of the spectrum would be the kind of privilege that exists, for example, for communications between lawyers and their clients. And there the lawyer cannot make the choice to release information. That choice always rests with the client. And so the lawyer can't be compelled to testify in court without the client's permission, and the lawyer can't be compelled to release the communications that pass between the lawyer and the client. As I read the -9, the B-9 amendments, they're more like the attorney-client privilege than they are like a public records exemption, because what they say is that the communications, perhaps as defined as Mr. Gallagher suggests, that are relevant to the duties of the ombudsman are confidential unless the party making the communication waives the confidentiality. To me, that sounds a lot like a lawyer-client privilege. Now, what that would do potentially is set up a situation in which the ombudsperson would receive confidentially information, say, from Mr. Gallagher, with a confidential report about the way a facility is treating Mr. Gallagher's mom, who's residing there at the facility. And then, arguably, on the face of the B-9s, the ombudsperson couldn't pass that information on without Mr. Gallagher's authorization, even to a law enforcement agency. And so I don't think that's where these amendments are intended to go, but that is a fair construction of the plain text of the B-9 amendments, because they say that the information is confident, the communications are confidential unless the party making the communication waives the confidentiality. Now, that wouldn't serve the goal that I think all of us have, to make sure that the ombudspersons can be as effective as possible in protecting the interests of the vulnerable populations that they're intended to serve here. So I only offer that by way of suggesting that these are very deep waters in terms of the extent to which you want to impose a cloak or a barrier to disclosure by the ombudsperson. And we need to be careful that whatever you do as a matter of policy choice in this area, that you don't, in fact, impede the operations of an ombudsperson's office.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. That's a really clear example of the complexity that's involved here. And that little phrase, unless the party making the communication waives confidentiality, is very problematic. I can sense a situation of child abuse. I'll take my own example. When I went to my high school counselor and said I was being abused at home, back then there were no laws that required them to report. And I said, I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell anyone. So we didn't tell anyone, and I continued to be abused at home. It's not his problem. But that's the same situation. Someone will come to the ombudsman and say, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell anyone. And then the ombudsman has this information and can't act on it. So I think that's a problem, and you've illustrated that. So does that answer your question, Representative Girard?
Well, that wasn't the intent of the amendment.
Well, I know, but oftentimes the intent is different than the result, and I think this needs some more work to make sure you don't have that problem. And today is June 20th, and I don't think you have time to take care of this problem. If you think you have time and you want to risk losing the underlying bill, which Senator Morsette does not want to do because it's his bill. So I would prefer just to delete that section now, and then you guys can work on it the interim and come back next session, because we're always here again. Senator Morsette?
Yeah, I thank you. I don't want to start from scratch next time. I think we have come quite a ways, and we've established our intent, and now we have to come back and make sure that we don't have any unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, I'm fine with that. I think that's the perfect way to proceed.
Okay. Great. Thank you, gentlemen. Do you have a question?
No.
You're going to make a motion. I am ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I would move the dash B8 amendments to Senate Bill 753.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Morse moves the B8 amendments to Senate Bill 753. Be engrossed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I would move that the Senate concur in the House amendments, the B8 amendments to Senate Bill 753, and that the bill be further amended and repassed.
Thank you. Yes, what you meant to say was you move the Senate concur in the House amendments dated May 24th, 2007, and that the bill be further amended and repassed.
That's what I intended to
That's
say.
That's exactly what you intended to say.
I just left out the date.
Any discussion about that? All right. Ms. Seiler, will you take the roll, please?
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Representative Durant.
Aye.
Senator Morsette.
Aye.
Senator Morse.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Chair Walker.
Aye. Having received constitutional majority, 753 is amended and repassed. So, Senator Morsette, you can carry on the Senate side. And Representative Riley, are you the House carrier?
I'll carry it.
Okay. Great, and I think that takes care of our business. Thank you, gentlemen. We will close the work session on 753B. We will adjourn the conference committee, and you can go about your day.